Thank you for your kindness. This is just a good group of people to be with. I'll tell you straight up, sometimes it's not as fun in some churches as others. Y'all with me here? Sometimes my wife and I have looked at each other and go, oh, it's only Monday. But we stay by the stuff, look to finish strong, and just let God work, you know, in spite of some of the attitudes and hearts that may be before us. Folks, when you come to church, you should be lit. You should be excited, anticipating a work from on high. God, again, illuminating your mind and heart and give you understanding on how to know Him better and serve Him in a greater way. Good time for, boy, don't you talk while I'm preaching, boy. Don't you even look at that guy cross-eyed. There you go, that's good. And you know, I have a gift. Now, I saw some of you kind of look at me strange when I picked on the teenagers. But I've got a gift in that area, don't I, Pastor? I torture teenagers around the globe. And I don't understand it, but they still seem to put up with me. And we still seem to have a good... If I did what I do to teenagers, to you adults, oh, you would shoot me. You know, but I love picking on teenagers because they're so fun and pickable, if you know what I mean. But I hope you're excited to be here tonight. I hope you've had a blessed time. I know some of you couldn't be with us all week, but we've had a great time around the Word of God. We've had great crowds. Where's this side? They're all downstairs working with the munchkins. That's where they all are. I just left a whole bunch of them downstairs. But you know, as I was downstairs with those kids, just, it breaks my heart every time I do that kind of ministry. Because those kids down there, most of them don't have anything close to consistent biblical instruction. You know, where people, you know, in their home, show them Jesus, teach them about Jesus. And folks, what a great ministry you folks have, not just them downstairs, but this group here have as far as that Wednesday night program is concerned. Maybe even some of these teenagers don't get what some others are blessed with and spoiled with. Well, let's just show them Jesus as much as we can, pray for them, encourage them, and then just, you know, stay after them as such. So they'll again get all that goodness that's found in and through Christ Jesus. Now, I do appreciate the offering. I'm sure it'll be real good. You know, I can say this because you guys are ornery. I don't usually mention offerings at all, but Pastor Josh knows I'm a little warped here. You know, I got a great ministry. See, if you don't give in the offering like you're supposed to, God will deal with you accordingly. But God will still bless me. Do I have a great job or what, people? God is so, it's the truth, you know. And there are some people in some churches that have more the gift of giving. But folks, I live by the love offerings that people give. Now, I didn't say this on purpose till now because the love offering's done, but I don't have any meetings in May. With this throat issue, I didn't schedule anything. So it's one of those trust and obey type of things like we just sang about. But you know what? I am confident God will meet my needs. He's done that for the past 2 years as I've worked less than I've been working as far as my ministry is concerned. And I've had to, you know, have you learned, even though you don't have money coming in, it still goes out? Are y'all with me? It just seems to just have it doesn't have a turnoff knob as far as that's concerned. But God, He says He'll supply your needs according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And folks, my life is a living testimony of that. But thank you of being a part of our ministry, but don't stop. You know, you may not have the financial wherewithal to support us, but you sure can get on your knees before God and pray for us. Pray that I'll continue to get a stronger voice. I had enough to do the munchkins downstairs, come up here, I'm stretched out a little enough, I could do a little singing with you guys. And of course, I had to help that song leader, you know what I'm saying. And you know what I'm saying, you know, Jeff, he needs a lot of help. But you can pray for us. My wife's name is Sean. We've got a busy summer. Now, I think you know of Camp Kobiak, of course, up in northern Michigan. I worked there for a lot of years. And I was working there for several years up till this coming summer. I'm going to be up at Northland all summer long. I go the last of May. I'm there through the 5th of August. Then I go to Milwaukee and I do a vacation Bible school the next week. I forget where I am, but somewhere else. Then I go all the way down to Columbia, South Carolina and do a week of revival meetings with a guy named Bill Lagerdahl. So I got a lot coming up and I got some stuff, good stuff coming up in the fall. But pray that I'll have power from on high, especially. I don't want to do this with part from Jesus intervening on my behalf. But I also want power vocally. So I like to sing about as much as I like to preach. And I just pray that God will give me vocal power as well as spiritual power to do what I believe He'd have me to do. Now, as far as anything else goes, just think about us. Go to our website, MikeManorMusic.com, and I try to keep a current schedule, but right now my website's kind of goofied up, and I'm trying to get that all fixed and taken care of. But I appreciate you being a part of our ministry in such a fashion. Now, folks, if I had the opportunity to preach out of the book of Colossians every night, I'd do it. Don't you get hooked to certain books of the Word of God and you just want to read them all the time? Well, this is one of those passages. Now, I'm not going to preach the whole book. Take a deep breath and say thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to preach all of it, but I do want to go from chapter 1 to chapter 4 and just highlight what I believe the theme of Colossians is. And you say, well, what might that be? Christ, the preeminent one. Christ, the preeminent one. Now, if you don't have your Bible, next time bring your Bible. That's why we come to church. And if you don't have one, you don't own one, well, maybe scoot next to someone that has a Word of God and kind of share it even here tonight. Are there any in the pews for the teens? Have we got any Bibles back there? Are there any pews? Pass some Bibles up. And teens, to find this passage, because I'm going to be here quite a bit, okay? So I need a couple more. Now, look in the front of the Bible and look up the page number for the book of Colossians. That starts with a C, okay? I just didn't know if you wanted to catch on to that. But the book of Colossians, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, folks, it deals with Christ the preeminent one. I want to show you that as we get toward the challenge of tonight. So let's kind of stop right where you are. I know you're kind of in the midstreams. Teens, hang on just a second. Let's pray and ask God to help us, and then you can dig deeper and find that passage as we go along. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for this wonderful week with this wonderful group of people. Lord, they're fun to be with. I'm so excited for Pastor Josh and his family as they have opportunity to shepherd this flock. And Lord, they're just unbelievable potential. Wonderful people, phenomenal facilities here, and Lord, just people out there who need to know Jesus as personal Savior. So Lord, continue to give wisdom and again guidance to the folks of this ministry and the leadership of Pastor Josh as they go forward to do a great work for You. But Lord, as we come forth to this passage of Scripture, this final challenge from my opportunity to again instruct the local church, God help us again to take it to our hearts. And Lord, seek to put these truths into our lives. Now, Lord, if there's a teenager, adult, visitor, church member that needs to get saved, God save their soul tonight. God help them before they leave here to know for sure that Jesus is their personal Savior. And God, through all that You do, we'll just rejoice and praise You and thank You for Your goodness, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember the theme? Christ, the preeminent one. Let me show you that in the matter of creations. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and go down with me to verses 15 and 16. Again, Christ, the preeminent one, even in the matter of creation. Look with me, please. Talking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Or what does that mean? All things are held together. Now, folks, look up here. I know you people know that, most of you at least. But you know a lot of people outside these walls think Jesus started as a baby in a manger? Do you understand? That's how ignorant people are of the Word of God. They don't understand that Jesus is God incarnate or God in the flesh. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has always been, He always will be. And to think that that God, the Creator of all, came down to die in our place. How can you get over that? You shouldn't. Because the One who created all things, the One who holds all things together, now is at the right hand of the Father, ever living on your behalf to help you be fulfilled and faithful to the Christian life that He's blessed you with. So He is preeminent in the matter of creation. Now, verse 18, folks, how are you going to dodge the bullet of this truth if you really want to know the truth? You just can't. It's right here straight up. It says, and He is the head of the body, the church, talking of Jesus, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in the things I want to yield to His control. Is that what it says in the Bible? No, that's what we want to say and interpret as far as what we think or feel. But here's God's will for all of our lives. That in all things He might have preeminence. What does preeminence mean, folks? First place. Would you say it with me? First place. So in all things, what you choose to watch, what you choose to read, where you choose to go, who you're going with, it should be all to please and honor God. And He must be your first and foremost thought to make any decision you're ever going to make. So what do we do with that truth? We'll keep going on down in this passage. Go down with me to verse 27. Again, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I know you know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Folks, is there any way to get to heaven apart from Jesus? Any other religion? No. Any good work? No. Any church can get you there? Well, no. It's only through Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And folks, I've quoted this at least three times this week. Jesus Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can you finish with me? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you can argue till your teeth fall out if you want, but if you're going to understand the truth from God, guess what? There's only one way to heaven, and it's not through you. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that atones for our sin. You want to go to heaven, teenagers? You need to quit playing church and accept Jesus. Dad, you want to come to church and lead the parade instead of following your wife to church? You get saved to know Jesus as your personal Savior. It'll make a difference for all eternity in your life. So what do we do with that truth? We'll look down at the next verse. Here's our responsibility. Now, this is for the shy people as well as the loudmouths like me. Look what it says. It says, whom we preach, that's heralding forth the truth. Why are we doing that? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? We want to help folks grow up. And you have a responsibility of discipleship like I preach very pointedly all week long. But who are you teaching what you've been? You've got to be faithful to this responsibility. But look at me. Why don't most people do this? Because it's hard work. That's why. And again, it interrupts our thing. But folks, shouldn't our thing be Jesus's thing? And that should be more important. What happens if He's not first place? Then this isn't what you're going to be faithful to, because you're pleasing someone or something else other than Him. Now, Paul says, I'm doing the same job. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Go to chapter 2. I got to go down to another verse here. We got the air conditioning cranking, but you know, the girls just unwrapped a bunch of fans. This guy looks like a Spanish dancer over here with two fans going. If he starts getting up and do a Jose Greco click of the heels, then I give up, folks. But again, if you need a fan or two, they're down there. It's a little warm up here for me. And again, we'll be, Did you hog all the fans? Look at this guy. He's got 35. He'll be having them in his toes next. What are we going to do? All right, go. Does anybody need a fan? Anybody like to have one? Herbert will pass them out. They don't want any. Just, okay, stay focused on Mr. Maynard. Try not to play with too many fans. Y'all with me? Let me be your biggest fan. Okay, there you go. There you go. Don't do a pink one. Listen, anything but a pink one. Find something other than a pink one, because it scares me you got a fan to begin with. Black's good. Okay, here we go. Look down with me in chapter 3. I told you I love to pick on teenagers. It's such an easy target and so fun and gratifying. Look down at verse 3 of chapter 2. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, folks, Jesus is the living word. Y'all with me? But He has blessed us and entrusted unto us the written Word of God. Can I ask you, how rich are you? Because your money, it's going to pass away. It's nothing in comparison to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are found in this book. Do you have anything truly worthwhile in your mind, your heart, from this book to invest into the lives of others? You know what I've found? Most Christians are bankrupt. Because they don't take time to, again, fill their minds, their hearts, with stuff that lasts for all eternity. The truths the treasures of this book. How dumb is it for us to sit like brain-dead brethren for hours upon hours and watch some worthless TV program? Now, I'll tell you right now, I like HGTV. Y'all with me? I'm going to shiplap my bathroom. If you, some of you girls will know what I'm talking about here. I'm converted, people. I know how to do this sort of thing. But you know what, folks? I don't care if you watch a little Joanne and whatever his name is. But you know what? Don't miss out on filling your life with these treasures. Why? Because you grandparents don't have riches to invest in your grandkids. And you kids don't have the treasures to invest in people you say you care for. And these are treasures, folks, that never, ever diminish or pass away. Now go down with me into this passage. Look down at verse 10. I think this is the key verse of the entire book. Underscore this, circle this if you would, please. Look down at verse 10. It says, "And ye are complete in your grandchildren." Is that what it says? You're complete in your bankrupt, and you're bankrupt. Yeah, I'm bankrupt. In your bank account, right? No. You're complete in your local church. You know, some people love their building and their local church more than they love Jesus. They'll fight for a building or what they say they own. This church belongs to Jesus, folks. Get over yourself. This is not your building. This is His, and He's entrusted care and again, ministry unto you through this church. Well, don't you know I signed on the line for a mortgage here? Well, it still belongs to Jesus because your bank account belongs to Jesus. Everything you have, everything you will have belongs to Jesus. He's blessed you with that. And now you're supposed to use it as He directs your life. But you know what? Things will never complete you. I wish I could convince these teenagers. A boyfriend, Herbert. You know who I'm talking about? That cute little nerdy kid in your class. High water pants, white socks. He's just cuter than a button. You know, Herbert cannot fulfill your life and complete it. Neither can, look at me, neither can Bertha. Are you with me, son? You know Bertha. Everybody knows Bertha. Yeah, Bertha can't complete your life either. Only Jesus is the completer. Can I have an amen, please? Look at the verse. "And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power." I'd love to preach the whole passage. Go to chapter 3. It says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth." That's what we're after. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth." Oh, Brother Maynard, do you mean I can't love God's creation? Yeah, go hug a tree if you want and kiss it if you want. But always love the Creator more than the creation. Y'all with me? You know, I don't be a good steward and citizen of this earth we're on, but folks, because of Jesus. Not because of some eco this, that, or something else. No, because you are a child of King, the King, looking to be a good steward of what He's blessed you with. So again, make sure you keep this right and set your affection on things above. Love Jesus most than the things of this earth. I always put it this way for teenagers. You got to make sure that your vertical relationship, that's between you and God, it always is more important than your horizontal relationships. What's the phrase I've used all week? Nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. Does anybody remember the phrase? When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. Did you hear that, teens? When Jesus is not your love of life, and something else is, smoke it, chew it, hug it, hold it. You know what I'm talking about? When that stuff becomes, is your headband too tight? Are you okay? You know, I just worry about people that have buns on their head and tighten it there and then the round thing to wrap it up. It could cut off circulation to your brain. I just hope you're okay. All right, go down with me in this chapter to verse 16, if you would, please. In verse 16, it says, well, let's start at 15. It said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're all called, that you are called in one body." And here it is, "Be ye thankful." Folks, don't miss in Colossians alone how many times God is concerned about your spirit and your thankful spirit, being grateful. Aren't we gum bumpers by nature? Growlers and complainers? Folks, we should be the most shouting glory, hallelujah, God is good people to ever walk on the face of the earth. And always, in all things, give thanks. That's God's will for our lives. Look at verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell or pitch a tent in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And look at verse 17. Talk about an all-encompassing, life-directing verse. And it covers the whole, every base, folks. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, folks, there ain't nothing else. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, here it is again, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's that thanksgiving thing again. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then wives, submit to the leadership God has placed before your husband. Husbands, lead your family in a godly, Christ-like way. Children, obey your parents. Be good workers, folks. You know, I'd love to do a whole message on being a good steward at your place of employment. Because you're there not to earn a paycheck, you're there to represent Jesus as an ambassador for Christ. That's your first and foremost goal. But I love this verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Go down with me to verse 23. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it, is it heartily? Is that the word? No, what's the word, folks? Heartily. There is a big difference, isn't there? One has a little bit of droopy. Does anybody remember Droopy the cartoon character? Droopy was just slow all the time. Remember Droopy? One of my favorite cartoon characters. But you know, folks, we need a little Tigger in our lives. Y'all with me here? A little boing boing, get it done, let's go faster, let's do more. But folks, heartily means put the pedal to the metal. Hide the old silver away, as you've heard me say several times this week. Folks, hardly. No, heartily. As unto the Lord, doing the will of God so everybody will think you're spiritual. No, doing the will of God so you please Jesus. And that is the truth, again, of a representation of Christ being first and the love, your life, your all the time. Go with me to chapter 4. I got to keep going. We got to get done before the kids get unleashed here. In chapter 4, Paul says, hey, I need you to pray for me. And you know what he asked for? That I'll be faithful like I need to be faithful. You know, just like I preached last night, God, help me to buy up opportunities and speak as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom, and again, redeem the time. Folks, quit acting like we got a couple thousand years to do the work of Jesus Christ. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow. I buried teenagers and younger as a preacher. But we all think we're kind of indestructible. You were talking about that day, weren't we, preacher? Who would have thunk it? You know, you'd get cancer. Who would think that I've been faithful to God? I mean, God will probably keep me around for like 300 years because I'm such a wonderment to behold for Jesus. You know, bad things happen to good people, folks. And God allows certain things to come into your life. Even with Pastor Bob, he'll be a better minister of God because of what he went through. He's more dependent upon God. He's more thankful for the life and breath every day that he gets to, again, take in and use for Jesus. But hasn't that same thing happened for you? When you got that knocked down and God gets you back up, don't you appreciate Him just that much more? And folks, why don't we do that before we have to get knocked down? And again, have a right approach and attitude and say, God, don't let me miss an opportunity. But keep going down in this passage. I want to show something specifically. There's a list of faithful co-laborers here, but I want you to go all the way down to verse 17. Would you go there, please? It's talking to the pastor, thought of pastor for the... Hey, leave fanboy alone, okay? Kind of turn this way. I'd appreciate it because if it's distracting me, it's probably distracting them too. So kind of look this way. In verse 17, Archippus, the guy that was thought to be the pastor of the church of Colossae, what does he say to him? He says, hey, Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. You know what thou fulfill it means, folks? That you get the job done. Now let me ask Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh, do you know you have responsibility as a pastor of this church? Oh, how long is the list? Are you with me here? You know, he doesn't just preach on Sunday and Wednesday. You know, he's got other things to do in the whole week that's before him, and usually not enough time to get it all done. So why is Paul saying to this preacher, hey, make sure you get the job done? Here's the truth, folks, and it's for us too. The Spirit is willing, but what's the problem? The flesh is weak. And your flesh is going to buck the system until you're taken out of this corruptible body and put on incorruption in Christ Jesus. So here's my question for you, and here's how to make it real personal. Read the verse again and put your name in the place of Archippus. Do it right now. Read the verse and put your name in the place of that. Some of you don't have Bibles, so let me give an example. Hey, Mike, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it or get the job done. So when you think about ministry responsibility, what ministry are you looking to fulfill? In other words, what are you doing? Well, I read my Bible every day. That's training and preparation. Well, I want you to know, Brother Maynard, I'm here under the preaching of the Word of God all the time. That's training and preparation. But listen, what are you doing on purpose to again see souls saved? To again see folks grow up in Jesus, heralding forth the truth? What ministry are you in? Well, I clean the church. Well, good for you. And I work with those bratty kids in the nursery. You probably shouldn't. Okay? It would probably be good to get someone else instead of you. But you know what, folks? It's not just being faithful in here. Listen carefully. It's being busy and faithful out there. But what are you looking to fulfill and make sure you get done? You know what I find? Most people don't do much of anything as far as ministry is concerned, and they just expect pastor to do all the work. Folks, that's not the way a local church works. You know what his main responsibility is? To feed you and equip you so you'll do the work of the ministry. Have we got that cockeyed and backwards and messed up? You know, we run preachers and he had cancer. It's all you people's fault. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? You run a preacher ragged and you wonder why some preacher, you know, Brother Bob just didn't have any place else to go. But a lot of preachers leave after a year or two. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to run Josh off here in a year or two. You want him to stay by the stuff and grow up with you all, growing this church. And again, but don't make him do all the work. Don't you dare let him clean this church. Don't let him mow the yard. You get out there, you got time to do it like as he does. You're like he's got time. You know, there are a lot of just things of operation, folks, that folks just say, well, somebody's going to do it. Why don't you do it? Why don't you let that be a part of your family ministry? And again, give the pastor time to spend in his office on his knees learning the Word of God to equip the saints to do more for Jesus. That's why he's here first and foremost. He's here to be a soul winner as a Christian. He's a disciple of men. That's his personal responsibility as a believer, just like you. But folks, what are you doing to get the job done? Now, here's what I've learned. Now, I've not always had this cushion job of an evangelist, you know, blow in, blow up, blow out. I haven't always had this, okay? I've had real jobs before. I had people tell me, are you ever going to get a real ministry? Trust me, this is a real ministry, okay? But you know what? There are two key characteristics for every job ever given, secular or sacred. Now, you can write this down in your Bible if you want, because the first one's a biggie. Availability. Would y'all say it with me? Availability. One of the greatest frustrations of every pastor I have ever known, including this one, is being part of a volunteer organization in which very few folks volunteer. Can I have an ouch from the crowd, please? Ouch. You know what's going to happen? You're kind of going through the honeymoon phase with Pastor Josh now. You know, he's cute. He's got that sweet little wife. He's got 1,000 children. I still haven't learned all their names. That boy's a fruitful fella, you know. And right now the honeymoon's on, and you'll bring him over some food. You know, you come go help fix get his kitchen done sooner than later, would you? I was over there today. He needs a lot of help. And you're just a nice dude. Now, what's going to happen? Because I know him. He's going to start parking on your little pet acceptable sin. He's going to get on your face, get in your face, not on it, that'd be uncomfortable, but get in your face and tell you that you're not doing what you should be doing biblically. Are you going to be just as nice and thankful? Are you still going to appreciate him for the godly, biblical guy that you've hired, that God brought here? Y'all with me? God brought him here. Yeah, you may have voted and then got him in, but you know what? God appointed him here. And I know him. He's going to preach the sin out of you people. He's going to stay on you because that's what he's here to do, to get you cleaned up, cleared out, so you can be more productive to see souls saved and lives changed for all eternity. But you know what? He can't do that if he's doing all the visits. He's doing all the discipleship. He's doing all the things that you should be doing as a faithful servant of the Word of God. Right now you may say, Pastor Josh, what do you want? What can I do for you, buddy? What's going to happen 2 months from now? Or maybe in 6 months? Ah, Pastor Josh will do it. Man, he's a slave. That kid just works and works and works. And you just again cop out on the privilege of serving Jesus and coming alongside to be the helpful servant sacrificially that you're supposed to be. Folks, a volunteer for Jesus is not just when he first gets here. It should be that through the whole time that God allows him to minister in this position, again directing you as the servants of God. So what's the first word? Say it with me. Availability. You want the toughie? It's dependability. Dependability. Yeah, you know, as a pastor, I gave some people responsibilities, but I had to go back and finish the job that they didn't get done. More than I have time to tell you about. Folks, what a poor stewardship testimony that is. Shouldn't you give your all and best at whatever privilege of serving God entrusts to you? And not do it half-hearted, but heartily, as unto the Lord. So folks, if you're going to fulfill your call of God, what's the first word? Availability. What was the second one? Dependability. Now these teenagers, bless their young hearts. They're just so busy trying to figure out if they have a brain and use it properly. And, you know, social skills are just so diminished and just so unknown. And we can't bother them with serving Jesus, right? No, they should be just as busy as any of you adults. They've got a mission field in their home. They got a mission field at their school. Do you have kids that you know that need to get saved? Kids on drugs? Immoral? I mean, all messed up in their family and their personal choices. Who's going to witness them? These adults would scare them to death, wouldn't they? Yeah, they would. They'd go, ooh! I mean, they'd be scared to death of some of these folks coming at them like a herd of turtles. Arr! And you know, so aren't you supposed to be just as busy about the master's business as any is at all? Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I know very few teenagers that ever step up the plate and play consistent ball as far as God's will. But it shouldn't be that way. And you know what? You say, I don't know how to do that. That's what Pastor Josh will do, Brother Jeff will do. They'll equip you and train you how to get the job done. But folks, when you know, shouldn't you be doing it anyway? Shouldn't you again say, my life is all about following and fulfilling God's will for my life? Now, here's what I'm going to do to close this out. I want to show you a contrast of what I call a sucker and a survivor. Now, let me explain the word sucker, because that for us old folks, that may be a little more not usable word. I'm a cartoon junkie. You've heard references through the whole every message about. Do you remember Bugs Bunny? Anybody remember that old? Yeah, Bugs. Well, I mean, one of the greatest cartoon characters of all time. I learned classical music through Bugs Bunny, people. They use classical music. I didn't learn it Bob Jones. I learned it on Bugs Bunny. Well, what happened, people? My favorite one is when Bugs Bunny's being chased by this dog and the dog says, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? Any of you carnal people remember that like me? Okay. Now, Bugs always fools the dog. Y'all with me? He's a star of the show, people. And what happens when he gets duped or fooled by Bugs Bunny? His head turns into a big lollipop. And what's across the top? Do you remember? Sucker. You don't get that at Bible college. Okay, let's go on. Let's go down to this passage. And let me give you, first of all, the survivor. The survivor. Look who's mentioned down here. If you look at me with me at verse 10, it mentions Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. You know who that is? That's John Mark. Now, folks, get your thinking caps on theologically. I just read this week, so I'm real fresh with this story. What happened in a missionary trip, first one, with Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark? What happened specifically concerning John Mark? Do you remember? Talk to me. What happened? Well, that comes to that, but why didn't he like him? What happened on the first missionary trip that caused that? John Mark quit! Was he available? Yeah, but he wasn't what? Dependable. Now, kids, let's think this through. He left. Did he have some blonde girlfriend back home he couldn't live without? possibly. Did he, you know, he had like a chariot payment. You know, he maybe had to go get another job at Mickey D's or something. You know, who knows? You know, what caused this guy to blow one of the greatest opportunities known to man? Well, you loved going on a missionary trip with Paul and Barnabas. Now, we'll get to your part of the story. On the second missionary trip, it involves Paul, Barnabas, John, Mark, and who's the other guy? Silas. Yeah, you got it. Now, what happened in discussion? Paul and Barnabas agreed to disagree. What do you mean? Yeah, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark, and Paul didn't because John Mark was lacking dependability, okay? So Paul and Silas go down to Philippi. You remember the jailer gets saved, all that great ministry impact? But it was just as impacting with Barnabas and John Mark. How do I know that? Because Barnabas did what Barnabas is known to do. What did he do? He took folks that were sidelined or out of sorts of the will of God and discipled them and help them get back in favor with God and use ability. Yeah, I love motorcycles too. There they go. Harley, did you see all those? They were bikes you couldn't ride because you have to lean forward. All right, here. You would never stand again. All right. Those rocket things aren't good for us old people. Okay. But they sound cool going by the window as I'm preaching and distracting most of the congregation. So again, Barnabas disciples John Mark. And how do I know there was a victory? Because in the book of Timothy, what did Paul say about a guy who was once unfaithful? He says, take Mark with thee. Why? For he, what's the word? He is profitable for the work of God. That's a picture of a survivor, a reclaimed and restored. And why do I park on this so hard? Because some of you have quit because you've blown it. And you chose sin over faithfulness to God. Let me give you hope. We serve a God of second chances. And for us that mess up more than not, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, we have a very loving, patient, forgiving God. So don't be muddied up. Don't be sidelined by your own fleshly choosing. Let God work His way in your heart and cause you from here on to be profitable. Now, what about the sucker? Keep going on to the passage. Let me show you that. Go down with me, if you would, to verse 14. First of all, it mentions Luke. Are you there? Verse 14? You got it? You got your Bible? You got it? Got it? Look at verse 14. We're in chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician. Oh, Luke was unfaithful. Not as much as I know. But look at the next guy mentioned. And Demas greets you. Now, folks, how many of you have a child named Demas? No, nobody. You don't even have a dog named Demas, whether you like it or not. Now, wait a minute. He's listed here as a faithful servant of God. But that's not what you think of when you think of Demas, do you? What's the verse that you attach for all eternity to this guy named Demas? You know the verse? Demas hath what? Forsaken me. What was his choice? The same choice we're making. The same reason we're sidelined. The same reason we are not, again, fruitful and faithful to God. What's the problem? Having loved this present world. Again, love the world around you, appreciate it, but not more than loving Jesus. Love the creation, but not more than you love the Creator. Keep your spiritual ducks in a row so you can be listed as faithful instead of unfaithful. So Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now go back down to verse 17 and we'll close out. Folks, would you again read that verse to yourself and apply it to your opportunities? To what God is looking to bring unto you as far as ministry fulfillment? Now folks, look at me for a minute. It's just not busyness. Do you hear me? Not just Martha-isms. You know, I clean the church. I'm out there working. I serve the food. No. I'm going deeper than that. I'm talking about ministry. Now, you got to clean the church. You got to serve the food. You got to do the yard. I understand all that. But you are here to impact people. And again, use your testimony and use your knowledge of Jesus to grow people up in Christ Jesus so they in turn can be faithful ministers of God. So here's the challenge, the last opportunity I have. Take heed, people. Be aware. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, or listen carefully, that you do this. This is your job. Get the job done. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? All of you from front to back, heads bowed, eyes closed. You know, when teenagers are